it applies. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to have communion. But I got to thinking about that idea of putting off the old ways and walking in what's unfamiliar. Even if we know it's the right way to live, it's still unfamiliar to walk in it. When we give our lives to Christ, now we're walking in the newness of life, life in Christ. And I thought about a story when we brought Jeremiah on as our youth leader. He came to me one day and said he was lonely. And I said, oh, bro, we can get some lunch if you want. He didn't mean that kind of lonely. Little did he know that he was already in relationship with the woman that would be his wife, Angel. That's Dwayne's daughter, Kim and Dwayne. Kim is Jeremiah's mom. Dwayne is her husband, right? Where are you guys? Over here. There's one. And anyway, so she had moved in with them with her beautiful daughter, Jordan. And Jeremiah, after a year of building an incredible friendship with her, fell in love with her and her with him. And if you remember, we did their wedding and then COVID showed up. So you wonder what happened there. But anyway, so I thought, hey, Angel, would you like to get up in front of everybody at our outdoor service and share your testimony of what God did in your life, that old life that became brand new in Christ? And she agreed. So Angel, why don't you come on up, Angel Moore, and share with us. Let's see, we'll get you all set up here. Gotta get right on that mic.
Am I close enough now?
No.
No? Hi. For everyone that doesn't know me, that was a pretty good introduction. He told me that I had to introduce myself, but I think he did a pretty good job. So Dwayne is my father, and about a year and a half ago, I moved down here with my daughter, and my dad had married this incredible woman, and she had these incredible children of her own, and I don't think that I've ever met any just more pure of heart people, and it was incredibly welcoming. And with the inspiration from my dad and Kim and Jeremiah, I decided to come to church with all of you lovely people, and it was the best decision I ever made. So I have written down my story here, and hopefully I won't stutter or take too long. I could be here for days if I told my whole story, but I think that I found a nice little piece of it here to share with you all. I wanted to start off with a couple of verses that really stood out to me when I first started coming to this church. The first one was John 3:20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. All throughout the Bible, you can see references to lightness and darkness. And I think that that is the perfect way to kind of analogy my past and my present, is that I was in the darkness and now I'm in his light. And it's amazing. Also, I think it's funny that, of course, one of my favorite verses of all time is in Jeremiah. it's Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And that was kind of something that I learned, was if you really truly open your heart to God, that there's no ends to his love. It's amazing. So, when I was 14, I went to church camp, Christian camp, and I was saved by Jesus. I put quotations there because I didn't change the way I was living my life. I did not understand. I was uneducated and ignorant of God's word, God's love, and God's glory. All that had happened that day was that I acknowledged that he existed. I had decided that there was, in fact, a God. I believed that he created us and that he could see all things and that he wanted us to be good people and make good choices. Since I was never taught of his love or his forgiveness or his glory, I was living my life for earthly pleasures, for selfish means. Eventually, I found myself surrounded by a darkness so thick I could not even remember what the light was like. through every bad choice, every decision I made, choosing to fulfill my earthly desires and normalizing sin and justifying my choices with apathy, I always felt a pull in my gut. Every lie, every sin, I knew I was wrong. I made a conscious choice to ignore my gut instincts, which I now can recognize as God trying to nudge me in a better direction. I was stubborn. I never thought God cared about me, and I definitely never thought he loved me. I was raised by a single mother who did her best to give me a good life. My grandmothers were and still are huge influences in my life and taught me what it looks like to be a true matriarch. But with no male role model in my life to show me how to be loved by a man, I grew up looking for love in all the wrong places. After bad choice, after bad choice, after bad choice, I found myself at my lowest of lows with a precious baby girl to take care of all by myself. My heart had broken over and had been broken over and over again because I kept putting my trust in the wrong places. My will had been shattered, and I had allowed myself to fail and fall so far down into this hole that I could not see how I could ever get out on my own. I was broken, and I was lost. I had nowhere else to go. My way had gotten me so deep in a hole of my own digging, I knew I needed help, so I leaned on family. I had known that this was the answer for a very long time, but I wasn't ready to give in. I finally caved and decided that it was time to grow up. Because of the never-ending support and encouragement from my dad and Kim, I decided to start coming to this church. That day that I came was one of the days that Jeremiah was giving the message to the main church in here, and he was talking about God's forgiveness, and it got me. It just hit me. I listened, and I tried very hard not to cry in public. My heart's hard shell finally broke like a glow stick. My heart had hardened and froze after years of abuse and self-preservation cracked like an egg. That night in my bed holding my beautiful baby girl, I sobbed, I ugly cried, begging the Lord for his forgiveness. Dear Lord, my God, Jesus, please forgive me for everything that I have done. And I think that that moment in my life is something that I compare a lot to what the psalm that we were just talking about this morning, where David just breaks down and begs God's forgiveness. I really can connect with that. I had a moment like that. I was ready. Through the coming months, attending this amazing, welcoming family of a church, I was taught about God's love, a concept I had never fathomed before. It hit me in my soul. I have always been a very emotional person. I feel my feelings, like physically. So when I started to understand God's love, I started to understand so much of myself as well. I think that I have always had his love with me, but I didn't know it, and therefore I didn't know what to do with it. It can be overwhelming at times. A few months later, after I finally started to accept his love and forgiveness for me, I completely surrendered my life to him. It was like he flooded the room with his love, and it completely engulfed me. It was overwhelming in the most beautiful and calming way. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, has swept me off my feet. He has blessed my life in unimaginable ways. He led me out of the darkness and into his light. He led me to the most amazing man that I have ever known. Not only did he put Jeremiah in my life, but he put this incredible love in his heart for me and for my daughter. For the first time in my life, I am experiencing what love is, what God's love is, and what it is to be really loved and honored by a man. In December 2019, I decided I wanted to be baptized. In February, a couple weeks before we were married, I was baptized by Chris and, to my surprise, Jeremiah. Having my, at the time, future husband be a part of my baptism was amazing. It was so meaningful. Being baptized was a huge deal for me, and I really wanted to do it before I was married. I really felt like I needed to be cleansed by the Holy Spirit, figuratively, spiritually, if not literally. I was blessed by the companionship of a woman, Jeanette, I instantly felt a connection with. It was just kind of one of those things. She just came up and grabbed me in this giant hug, and I just thought, I like her. I just knew that God had plans for her in my life. Jeanette has been an incredible mentor and has helped me in my walk with Jesus. She has helped me build my relationship with him, with myself, and with my husband, and mostly grow as a Christian in his light. She helped me complete a healed and set free Bible study that profoundly changed my life. It gave me tools that I apply to my life every day. I could spend all day listing all of God's blessings in my life and trying to explain my awe and gratitude towards God, but I will just continue to thank him in my prayers. I thank him all day long. My life is wonderful. My life is blessed. My life is so much more than I ever imagined it could be. And this is why it is this way because I quit trying to be in charge. I gave it all to God, and he has given me so much more in return. And that's it.
Stay right there. We're going to pray for you. Father, we lift up Angel to you and ask that you would touch her with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Anoint her for all that you have for her. Thank you for giving her the boldness, the courage, the grace to be able to share with all of us what you've done in her life. So we just look for that continued work that you accomplish in your spirit. We commit her to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
So there's so much going on. Did you guys know there's a virus? You thought it was just a long vacation, right? Where you were able to stay at home and do nothing, right? Yeah, I've been more busy than I've been in a long time. Just preparing my wife's workspace in our house because she's been working at home. But I sure do miss you all. It's so great to see you. What I'd like to do is take a few minutes, and I've asked a few people in our church to come up and pray over specific areas in our lives right now that we're facing. And it's unprecedented times. We haven't seen a lot of what we're seeing now. Some of the things have been around for hundreds of years. There's nothing new under the sun. When you study history, you just kind of see the same cycle over and over. But it's no surprise that to anyone now that we are in the middle of a time that we've never seen, never in my lifetime. No one has ever seen the entire world be affected by a virus like the COVID virus, where there was a worldwide response. We've never seen that. I don't know that in the past generations that would have even been possible to implement some kind of global plan. I don't know that I like the plan. But nonetheless, so I've asked my wife Mary to come up and pray for us concerning the coronavirus. So Mary, why don't you come on up? Oh, wait. Just in case the health department is watching us with a drone. I'm sorry. Forgive my humor.
What are you doing?
Getting the mic.
You're so funny.
It's fine.
The jokes never stop. I wanted to read a scripture out of Isaiah 58. Starting at verse 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. And Lord, we do come before you for our healing, God. Lord, you are the great physician, and healing we know comes in many different forms, Lord. Not just for the physical, Lord, but for the spiritual, for the emotional. And Lord, we need it all, God. And Lord, I pray for our world with this virus that is plaguing us right now, Lord. We've been blessed here in Sonoma County and affected minimally compared to other places, Lord. And we have not seen the devastation that New York has seen or that Louisiana has seen, Lord, Italy. But Lord, we want to pray for it all and pray for your covering. Pray for your perfect healing to come, Lord, and break through, whether it be with a vaccine. You know, Lord, you know what we need. And we praise you that you are in control. We praise you for your blessings upon us, God. And we trust you for all that's ahead. So, Lord, send healing to us. By your mighty hand, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks, Mary. You know, something that we have as the church is the ability to petition God for an issue that can we can be heavily divided over. And right now, one thing we're seeing is how divided our nation is on anything. You pick anything and bring it up right now, and there's a divide. If you buy a loaf of bread, you might have a division going on with the person next to you because you didn't buy the right loaf of bread. It really is to that point. It's discouraging in many ways. So what I love about the body of Christ is we supersede all of that. We have that ability in Christ to say, Lord, we're not going to divide. Even though we might feel differently about things, we come together by the Spirit of Christ. And we lay those differences aside and we are one in Him. It's so important to recognize that. It's my prayer that the church wouldn't lose that sense of unity that we have in Christ. Travel the world, you'll see that. That is what's the necessary and wonderful ingredient that we have is that unity and that peace that we have together. And so, Bill Walters, where are you? I've asked Bill to come up and pray for us concerning the stay-at-home orders, stay in place, and the effect that has had. And there's both negative and positive effects. So why don't you get up and pray with us about that.
Well, what a joy it is to be here today. We're finally back again, praise the Lord. Yes, so I'd like to pray, Father God, as we're entering a new phase, Father, of this season here, Lord, and churches are starting to open up and businesses are opening, Father, I pray you'd just pour your spirit out. You'd give wisdom to the churches and the business owners on how to accomplish this, Father. Lord, as we look at so many different things going on, Father, and I know going through this, Lord, I've had to check my own spirit, and I've wondered, Lord, before, you know, what to do, thinking about things, Father. And Lord, I realize, Lord, that every time that I get worried, I take my eyes off of you, I start getting nervous and worried about things. And when I put my eyes back on you and your word, Lord, things seem to start being clearer, Father. And that's why you gave us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Lord, that he would comfort us and help mm-hmm. us, Lord. So, Lord, I just thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, looking for positive things. I was talking with my wife, I see people coming by our homes, Lord, with children, and people are getting together with their kids, and they're riding bikes, and they're doing things, Father, together. Lord, I've seen dogs from Chihuahuas to the Great Danes, and people walking by and visiting and talking, Lord, and these people are getting together, Father. So, Lord, I just, I thank you, Lord, thinking about ourselves, Lord, our children, Lord, have nothing to want. Our children have brought us food and stuff, Lord, our sons, they've taken care of our every need, and Lord, I know it's from you, you've put it on their hearts to do that, Lord. And stuff, because some of them don't know you, Father. So, Lord, I'm just so thankful, Father, that we can come to you, Lord. And, Lord, you have a good plan for us, Lord. Your plan is good for us, Lord. And you're still on the throne. You'll get us through all this, Father. And, Lord, for those that are at home, Father, I just pray for them, Father, today, that you would pour out your Spirit upon them, that they would feel the presence of your Holy Spirit, Father, and just surround them, Lord, encourage them, as many are scared to come out, Father, into this world, Father. So, Lord, just... minister to them, give them safety, Father, and encouragement, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your great love for us, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Yeah, you know, I agree. I know there's many in our congregation that are at home, and we're still sending the YouTube live service out there. There's many reasons why people can't be here today, maybe the line of work they're in or people that they've been exposed to. So we want to continue to pray for God's leading on how we address this virus and the stay-at-home order. Linda Biggers, where are you? There you go. Come on up. The other thing that we're seeing is, well, I guess we could just call it chaos in our government. Let's just say it that way. Amen. It's just a lot of it. So I've asked Linda to come and pray over the government here. So.
Is this on?
Yeah.
Before I start, I just wanted to remind everybody, some months ago when the missionaries, the Hernandez family, were with us, William mentioned something about the fact that, gosh, there's that farmer's market outside your church walls every Sunday morning. You need to get out there. Here we are. So, yeah, I want to lift up our government. And so I went to the Bible first and wanted to just read from the book of Titus. And Paul says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. And Heavenly Father, we know that you put people in authority over us. And Lord, it doesn't matter who these people are. They are in our authority. And so we do come under them, Lord. And so I want to lift up our President Trump, first of all, to you. And Father, we thank you that you have blessed him with good health, with a strong constitution, with a great love of this country, a desire for all to prosper, and he is dedicated to freedom to worship and not be oppressed because of our religious beliefs. So we thank you for that, Lord. And Father, it says in Psalms that blessed is the man who trusts in you. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. Father, we lift up President Trump and Vice President Pence to you this morning and ask that those two men would be blessed and that they would trust in you and fear you and delight in your commands. And Lord, we pray that they would seek you for wisdom and that they would pray for each other and for this nation. And Lord, we also lift up our legislators. Lord, we pray for these men and women to have the ability to once again engage in healthy debate. Lord, that is something that was on the founders' hearts when they developed the Constitution, that our legislators would engage in healthy debate. And so, Lord, we ask for that to return. And Father, we pray that they would have a desire for our Constitution to be upheld. We also pray for our judges, Lord, that they would be bound to be just in all their deliberations. Mm-hmm. And Father, we pray for the body of Christ, Lord, because we have a responsibility to be informed about our government and how it works. We have a responsibility to take part in electing officials. But beyond all of that, Lord, we have the responsibility to pray for our leaders. Whether we agree with everything they do, whether we like their personalities or not, Lord, we should be about praying for them, Lord, on a regular basis. And so we thank you this morning, Lord, that we have the privilege to lift them up to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Linda. And as these things have continued to unfold, we're now facing just more, probably even intense issues now with all the things that have happened, the murder of George Floyd and so many others that as you search it out and you see what's going on in our nation, you see the great divide. So I've asked Jerry Sherman, where you at? There you are. Come on up. He's going to pray. Racism is just this horrible thing that we as a church have this incredible victory over. You know, Jerry and I were talking last night. I rarely meet someone that even considers a racist idea, but it is prolific in many ways. And so how to pray through that, I thought, you know what? I'm going to call somebody else. I'll call Jerry. So come on up, Jerry, and pray over that.
Yeah, you know, just want to start off with the confession. I mean, it was before I knew Christ, but despite growing up with a diverse crowd amongst my friends, there was a short period there where I got involved in racism just by following a crowd, and one thing led to another. But that's a story you want to ask me about, that's fine, but I just want to confess that, and let's just go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, first of all, you created mankind, everybody, in your image.
Yes, Jesus.
May we always be looking at everybody as a representative of your image, Lord, and not be respecter for of people despite their race or their culture or even their religion, Lord, but that we would just have the desire to see everybody come to Christ, but Lord, that we do it respectfully. And Lord, I just think at Pentecost, you know, your spirit poured out. And as the apostles were speaking, everybody heard it in their own language and dialect. And what a miracle that was. And it was the greatest revival ever. And so we just thank you, Lord, and just pray that you'd help us to just get past our fears and differences, Lord. When we deal, whoever we deal with, Lord, I think of the Good Samaritan, you know. Oh, a Samaritan going and helping that man who was different while everybody else was passing by because of fear. Lord, that we'd have that heart. And we just thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that in the end, you know, even during the tribulation, they're going to be from every tribe, language, and tongue that are going to come to you, Lord, and we'll see them sitting at your right hand. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and read the scripture. I wasn't going to read the scripture, but I think this one is for hope. Revelation 7:9, when the multitude from the great tribulation. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Yeah, there's going to be no division there when we're before Christ. And I look forward to that day. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. So lastly, I asked Jeremiah to come up and pray. Where are you? There you are. with all the protests going on. And there's, again, there's a lot of positive things about that and a lot of negative things about that. So I just thought, well, Jeremiah, would you want to come up and pray over all that's involved with that? So go ahead and pray with us.
Yeah. So it's pretty clear to see that there's still oppression going on in this nation and in the world. And as Jerry just shared with us, we know one day all that will be gone. And so we look forward to that day. But for now, I'd like to pray with all of us about the protests. So, Heavenly Father, God, we pray for these protests. We pray for good, godly outcomes to come from it. We pray that you would just keep them peaceful as they have been. And we just pray for the riots, that those are not part of the protests. Those are just separate. We pray that those would stop, that people would realize that that's not helpful, and that they would keep it peaceful. God, we pray that change would come in the legislation and in the police force, and just that if there's any racism there, that would just be cut off, that we would see the need for just good cops, I don't know. God, we just pray for your wisdom in this nation. We pray that you would just have your hand on this nation during this time, and that people would come to know you through it all, that we would realize that true peace, true unity is in you, Lord Jesus, and we pray that your name would just be heard throughout the entire world through this time. So we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, buddy. Well, again, we don't want to go too long this morning. A few things I want to share with you. If you want to open up your Bible to Colossians chapter 3, and if that's going to be a tough thing for you, it's okay. I'm going to read the verses. If you want to make a note of these verses on your phone to look them up later, that's another way of doing it. But I encourage you to just dig into the Word of God. We're going to even read that verse this morning. Colossians chapter 3. And as you're turning there, the idea is to walk in the newness of life. And what does that look like? Sometimes, you know, I go shopping every once in a while. Lately, isn't it great? You've learned how to shop on Amazon, right? I think they're going to take over the world. Everything I order, it's like they're the next. I ordered something on Amazon one evening not too long ago, and it showed up the next morning on my doorstep. I was looking for the drone. It's like, what? How does that happen? Amazing. But, you know, you go to the store, you go shopping for clothes, and here's the thing you do. You take the shirt, the pants, and you go into the dressing room, and you try them on, and you look in the mirror to see how you look in those clothes. How do they fit? How do you feel in those clothes? And if you're smart, men, right, you bring someone with you, like your wife or your girlfriend, and you walk out of the dressing room and you do this, right? How do I look, right? How do I look? And you go on the opinion of the person you trust. Hey, you look great. That's a really good color for you. When I resist Mary in this, when I'm getting ready in the morning and she goes, I don't think you should wear that shirt. And I get personally offended and say, you never like this shirt. It's my favorite shirt. remember I came to church once after that happened, and Jeanette came up to me and she goes, Chris, that color doesn't look good on you, just so you know. Friends look out for friends. I'm like, what'd you call my wife? You know. But we want to appear in the clothing that really we like and we feel comfortable in that represents us correctly, you know. How do I look? I'm asking you, how do I look this morning? You know, yeah, thank you. I've got to stoke that a little bit, I guess. But Jesus said this. He said, hey, by the way, you can't sew a new patch onto an old garment. Or when you wash it, the patch will shrink and the garment won't, and it'll make a worse tear. You can't pour new wine into old wineskins. In other words, a skin that is seasoned wine a couple times, and then you pour brand new harsh wine into it, and the idea is the acidic, I think, properties of the new wine will ruin the wineskins, and you'll lose your wine. He says you have to put new wine into what? New wineskins. And so we are greatly challenged with this today, church, because the world is watching you probably more than ever before. And there might be a lot of people that you meet that when they find out you're a Christian or you go to church, they will judge you and condemn you before they know you because of your association with Christianity. They won't like the way you look before they even get to know you. And yet, we associate with Jesus Christ. And the idea is we are to look like him. We're to look like Jesus. So when you look at Colossians chapter 2, and I might not even look at my notes because I don't trust me not to preach too much. So Colossians chapter 3, he's just made the point that you put off the old man, the old nature with all of those ways, the darkened ways, the selfish ways, the sinful ways, and you walk in the new man, putting on the new man. There's other scriptures that say, put on Christ. Put on the new man, put off the old man. Therefore, in verse 12 of Colossians 3, as the elect of God, the representatives of God, really, holy and beloved, put on, and here it is, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. In verse 16, where's the YouTube video on that one? There you go. Yeah. Did I say something about wind? Yeah, hold those stakes down. There we go. It's the enemy. He doesn't want the word of God preached. I'm just going to become a Pentecostal preacher right now. Pray against the wind. The spirit of the wind. Okay. Thanks, guys. See? You guys are awesome. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Remember these verses right there, Philippians 3, 12 through 17. It's like this. You present yourself to the world and you say, how do I look? How do I look? And this is how we want to look. We want to reflect Christ to this world. Tender mercies means a heart of compassion. kindness, moral use, morally useful. We need that today for sure. Humility, that proper view of self, not proud, arrogant, or self-focused in the view of who you are. Meekness is that power under control, that soothing wind, you know, not like that. A soothing breeze, but you know the wind could blow you away at any minute. It's power under control, meekness is. The horse that's submitted to the rider. The healing medicine. Long-suffering, one of my favorite Greek words, makrothumia, it means this, to wait until you respond. Long-suffering, just to be patient in waiting. Bearing with one another, that means holding back, but not building up pressure, letting it go. Can you do that? When someone says something that's offensive to you and it's against your issues and you go, how dare you? Are you able to bear with them? Hold back and wait, be long-suffering in your response. This is how Jesus wants us to look. And it's not just holding back, but forgiving one another. It's not just letting go, but having a resolution of heart to be forgiving like God is forgiving. He commands us to be. And so to forgive one another as Christ forgave you. He offers forgiveness to all, and faith is my partaking of that forgiveness. And so we forgive, and we communicate it in the proper time. Sometimes you can forgive someone in your heart and never actually go to them and say, I forgive you. But right now, today, in your heart, before God, forgive them. And that's a tough one, isn't it? We talk a lot about that. Chris, you don't understand. You're right. I don't need to. God does. And he says, I want you to be like me. I want you to forgive them. Well, how do I do that, God? Exactly. You're going to need to be submitted to him, waiting upon him. Lord, how am I doing with that? It's fitting for us to take on the character of Christ in our lives. Fitting. When I see that word in the scriptures, I pause because of the power of what that really means to be fitting. Hebrews chapter 2 mentions this, that it was fitting for God to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. Now, when I read that, it's fitting. You know what that word means, fitting? It's when you come out of the dressing room, gals, and you're in this beautiful dress, and your husband says, well, that's very becoming of you. That's what it means. It's fitting. It fits you perfect, your personality, everything about it. How becoming. So it's becoming of God, if you heard this. It's becoming of God. It's beautiful and fitting for the creator of the universe who holds every atom together to come and suffer for you, because that's the beauty of the heart of God and his character. When you see God for who he really is, the beauty of that. Well, Chris, what I do is I get off my throne and I take your guilt upon myself and I suffer in your place so that you can have my righteousness. Oh, God, how fitting. How becoming of you. How approachable is that when God takes my suffering upon himself to conquer it for me? This is the God that we serve that we want to look like in character, tenderhearted, a heart of mercy, patience, long-suffering, forgiving, bearing, all these things. Putting on love, first and foremost, putting on love, that fruit of God in our lives. But there's a lot more I could say, like for example, sorry, no, really, just one last thing here. It says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, and communicating that to those around us. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. That word dwell in the Greek, the idea is this, to finally settle down and be completely at home with. To finally settle down and be completely at home with. Let the word of God finally settle down and be completely at home with you in your heart. Put it on and trust that this is what God has for you. Put on the Word of God. Wear the character of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll confess this to you live because it wasn't good enough online. I had shared about this. Church, we're called to patience. We're called to be not arrogant. Be careful. Everyone that's in this lockdown situation, they're going to be upset. They have to wear masks. You be patient and calm. We left church. We went home after that day. It was a huge exhortation that Sunday for you guys and me. We went home and Mary and I decided we were going to go to In-N-Out to get food, of course. But we thought, you know, let's stop by and get gas for the car. And when we showed up at the car, the gas station, Mary said, let's take the car through the car wash. We haven't had it washed since quarantine. Okay. And then, of course, my thing says, go inside to get your receipt. It always does that to me. So I started walking over, and as I'm approaching the door, I hear Mary say, you don't have your mask. I'm like, oh. I'm like so close to the door. I went, well, I'll just stick my head in and tell them I need my receipt. And I open the door, and the lady behind the counter sees me without a mask and says, no, you can't come in here. So I pulled my shirt up over my face to say, hey, I need a receipt. And she goes, no. And your pastor said, God bless you. I'll wait in my car. And I float. No, I pointed to her with a grimacing look at my face. And I said, I need a receipt on number 6. And I started walking out of the door. And I kid you not, this is your pastor's confession. I said, stupid people, grow up. And I hear this. Excuse me, sir. And the guy's handed me my receipt. I said, thank you. Went back in my car. Pastor fails 1 hour after church. It's hard. But church, we know the wardrobe that God has given us, and it's Jesus Christ and his character and this list. I know I'm to be patient and kind. I know I'm to be merciful, bearing with others, not to just show them that they're wrong. I'm bearing with you because I'm better than you. But to forgive them and then to put on love. Just slather yourself with love and let the world see the love of Jesus Christ in your life. And guess what? It's beautiful. It's very becoming. It's unique in this world, the love of Jesus. The closest that mankind can get without God is simply a cheap imitation of what God provides by his presence in our lives. Don't forget that. It's God shining through you. Very becoming. That's what God's created you for. And we have this together in the body of Christ. And so when it says here at the end of this section, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's our communion, giving thanks to God. That's what it means. The word is the Eucharist that we take, the bread. That means thanksgiving. And we do this together. We remember the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you should all have your little personal communion cup, and you want to remember that little top, the clear one, will unwrap. We've never done this before as a church. The crystal clear one you unwrap, and it gives you that little wafer of might taste more like paper than anything else. But there it is. And then the other flap you open up to get the juice. So just hold on to that. And we're going to have Terry and Kim and Joe come up and lead us in a song of worship. And then we'll partake of communion together. He took bread that night and he broke it, handed it to his disciples and said, this is my body broken for you. How becoming of our great God. And then he took the cup and says, drink, this is the blood of the new covenant. Now, this is heavy, but we do it in remembrance. So you might even be here this morning and say, Chris, you know, I've never actually made a commitment to Christ. Now, I look around the room and I think we all have. Look around the backyard here. I think we all have, but maybe you haven't. And so you think, well, I do want Jesus in my life. Well, then confess him. Say, Lord, I want you in my life. I want to give my life to you. I want you to save me from my sins. And then show that by saying, and I receive you. And then you can take the bread and you can take the cup and say, Jesus, I want you in my life. And it's a beautiful expression of faith. But if you were to say, no, I don't want Jesus in my life, then don't take communion because it represents his body and his blood. And the scripture says you shouldn't take it if you don't recognize what we're doing. So why don't you go ahead and lead us in some worship. And then we'll partake together.
Who can compare to you, my King? Who can compare to you, my Lord? Who can compare to you, my friend? I looked and I found that there's no one like you in all the earth. Guide me on. You show me the way to life. You lift my head and you give me hope. You show me the way to life.
No one compares.
No one compares to you, my King. No one compares to you, my Lord. No one compares to you, my friend. I looked and I found that you're the one I needed all along. Show me the way to life. And you lift my head and you give me hope. You show me the way to life.
You are the way.
You are the way. You are the truth. You are the show me the way to life.
Time you take my hand.
And you take my hand.
Guide me on.
You guide me on.
Show me the way.
You show me the way to life.
Lift my head and give me hope.
And you lift my head. And you give me hope.
Show me the way.
You show me the way to life.
You are the way.
'Cause you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Yes, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life.
Man.
Well, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that demonstration, that convincing demonstration of your love when you came, lived that perfect life on our behalf, always doing those things that please the Father, and then you gave your life for us, Lord, so that we could have fellowship with God. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. We recognize your body given for us today. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the bread together. Lord, and all through your word, we see that picture of the cleansing power, Lord, of blood, that penalty that you paid for us so that we could be declared holy through your life. Lord, your death has reconciled us to God. Your life has breathed life into us, that we can walk in the newness of life. So empower our lives. Lord, go before us in your spirit, directing our lives. Lord, all because of this cup, all because we partake of you. And that's what this grape juice represents, Lord, is your blood for us. We thank you. Let's partake of the cup together. Well, should we stand? Stand on up. We'll finish with a song.
Would you answer me one question? How great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. One more time, how great? How great is our God? Would you sing with me? How great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God? Should we sing it high? You're the name. You're the are, Lord, and we're glad, happy, blessed to know you, Lord. Bless us as we leave this place, Lord. Bring us back, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.